In Haiti, armed gangs have escalated their violence, rampaging through upscale neighborhoods of the capital yesterday. Gunmen looted homes. Witnesses reported seeing at least a dozen bodies lying in the streets there. Haiti's power company said four substations were also attacked and vandalized. That left many parts of the capital in the dark. Meantime, the State Department says that Haiti is close to naming a transitional governing council to confront this crisis so the embattled prime minister can step down.
What's up, world? Welcome to another great episode of the APE, known as Ape Academy Podcast. We are a history-based podcast. We also discuss current events, Second Amendment topics. So happy you could join us. We are back. Ape. Ooh, beats are fire. All beats are gotten from freebeats.io. Freebeats.io. You can find them on YouTube. All right. We're going to do some housekeeping. But let me introduce myself. I am your host with the most, Mr. Chase H. I am a PhD student in history at the University of Houston. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a lover of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just enjoy learning. I enjoy research, and I enjoy sharing knowledge with the world and helping raise awareness with not only history, but current events. So thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, so a few things we need to discuss with housekeeping, okay? Please follow, rate, and review this podcast, all right? Remember, follow, rate, review, okay? Not necessarily in that order. Doesn't really matter. If you follow, you will receive notifications when new episodes are streaming. So, when you're sitting around, you are watching March Madness, you're hanging out with your kids, with your wife, with your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, your family, and you hear that chime or that vibration, that bing, you look down, right? You see the banner on the top of your screen. APE Academy Podcast episode available now. That means a new episode is streaming. All right. That's really important. Because if you don't follow, you won't know. You have to check manually and then you might miss something. If you have a few minutes to spare, rating will help us in the rankings and it also provides valuable audience feedback. If you are feeling extra super generous, writing a short review, whether it's two or three words, this sucks or this is awesome. Or it could be a freaking dissertation. It doesn't matter. I read every single one. It really helps. You can express your opinion about the podcast, about what we need to improve on, what we're doing well. And this will help us make improvements and help provide y'all the content you actually want to learn about and hear about. Last thing first. That doesn't make any sense. Lastly, I always forget to do this. The social media part. Please follow us on social media. We are currently pretty active on IG. TikTok, we've kind of fallen off a little bit. We're going to get back on that. On IG, find us at Ape Academy Podcast, at Ape Academy Podcast. That is my personal profile as the host of the podcast. So we talk about different things, Second Amendment stuff, history stuff. You can find exclusive content that you won't be able to find on this actual podcast, right, on this medium. And our actual official history podcast profile is at a.p.e history pod. Okay, a.p.e history pod. You can find us on TikTok at Ape Academy Pod. All right, we thank everyone for learning and growing with us. We appreciate y'all. Okay, bonus episode today. We're talking current events. there is a war going on in Haiti right now, okay? This episode is entitled Gangland, Haiti's Descent into Chaos, all right? I like doing current event podcasts because it really kind of refocuses me back on in the world today, right? One of the things I love about history is that the present can always be understood by looking at the past, right? But sometimes we really need to critically evaluate and learn about what's going on in the world around us, all right? And Haiti is a really, really important nation in the Caribbean. We'll go into it. We'll go into it in a second, all right? We have a few sources, which I will provide in the show notes. Let's introduce the topic, all right? So for today's episode, we are discussing the current turmoil in Haiti. And we're also going to introduce a broader discussion of the historical roots of European colonialism, slavery, war, and political division that has haunted the country from its very inception. Okay? This is nothing new for Haiti. One of the most fascinating aspects of being a historian, of course, is having the opportunity to link past to present to better understand how we got to this moment in time. In the case of Haiti, there are few nations on earth where the legacy of slavery and war has had such a detrimental impact on the development of a stable, prosperous society. If you haven't heard already, let me get you up to speed on the current humanitarian crisis in Haiti. First things first, Haiti is a country located in the Caribbean Sea that includes the western third of the island of Hispaniola, okay? The Dominican Republic is its immediate neighbor. It shares a border with the Dominican Republic. The population of Haiti is almost entirely descended from enslaved African people. It won its independence from France in a bloody uprising and a subsequent war in 1804, which of course we will discuss in follow-up episodes after this one, making it only the second country in the Americas, right? This is huge. The second country in the Americas after the United States to free itself from colonial rule. So it is a pioneer. It is a groundbreaker. It is a pathbreaker. It is a leader in the hemisphere as far as breaking away from a colonial master and forming its own nation, its own society, separate from them. Unfortunately, over the centuries, economic, political, and social destabilization, I'm going to say this word a lot this episode, not to mention major disasters such as the 2010 earthquake. If y'all remember that earthquake, look it up. It was horrific. These things have beset Haiti with chronic poverty and violent political conflict. Nearly all of Haiti's 11.8 million people are of African origin. A small minority of people of mixed European and African descent, called mulattoes, or mixed race as we say now in America, constitute a wealthy upper echelon of Haitian society. There's also a much smaller community of people of European descent. Haiti is much different ethnically, linguistically, and culturally from the rest of the Caribbean and Latin America. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, Haitian Creole and French are the two official languages of the country. Creole is normally used in daily life in regular conversation, and French, the second language for approximately one-tenth of the population, is used mainly in formal settings. Written Creole is not widely accepted because the school system retains French as the official language of instruction. Haitian Creole is a unique language derived from French, but its sentence structure is like the Creole languages of the Caribbean and of the Indian Ocean. All right, so that's a little bit of the background as far as Haiti goes. You know, I didn't want to go too deep in the topography, the animal life, the climate, etc. Right? Just give you if you don't know much about Haiti, that's just a kind of a brief summary. All right, I don't want to downplay certain aspects, but if you want to learn more, Encyclopedia Britannica is a great general guide to Haiti as a nation. Okay, some of the physical features of Haiti. So let's talk about what's happening now, all right? Let's talk about the nitty-gritty, what we're seeing on the news. In recent months, Haiti has suffered one of the worst crises in recent history. The country has been torn apart by intense gang conflicts for, I mean, it's been going on for decades, but it's really hit a kind of a crescendo recently. The crisis was sparked by the assassination of their president back in 2021, which resulted in widespread violence that has mainly targeted innocent civilians. Political turmoil has weakened the state's capacity, which undermines security and the delivery of critical services to the population within a literal war zone. Everything has collapsed. Internal government forces are very weak. So when we talk about internal security forces, we're talking about police force, we're talking about National Guard, kind of like in America, etc. If you don't have a police, this is imagine America or any, you know, modern European nation without a police force. It would be hell. It would be like The Purge. Ever seen that movie, The Purge? It would be just like that. So this is what Haiti is experiencing right now. After decades of battling gangs, the internal security is very, very weak and depleted. Nearly half of the population requires humanitarian assistance, including almost 200,000 people have been internally displaced. When people are internally displaced, that means that they can no longer stay in their village, they can no longer stay in their small town or their city, so they have to migrate into another area of the country. So it'd just be like in Texas. I live in Houston. It'd be like, say, San Antonio completely collapsed, and then everyone from San Antonio or half the population from San Antonio flood into Houston at once. Right, that would really weaken Houston's infrastructure. And that is what's happening across Haiti right now. Gangs, of course, have a long history in Haiti. For decades, gangs have been weaponized by corrupt and power-hungry politicians, bureaucrats, and business elites to suppress opposition, influence election results, and act as private mercenary armies. Today, criminal groups estimated to number around 200, and that's probably a conservative estimate, are multiplying and breaking free of their former patrons. To finance their operations, gangs are beginning to diversify their traditional criminal activities to include drug trafficking and money laundering. Haiti's food crisis, millions suffer from starvation, and cholera outbreaks are linked to the increasing power of criminal organizations and the social destabilization, here's that word again, caused by a lack of a strong internal security apparatus. Gangs are hindering access to basic relief, blocking fuel supplies, and disturbing the operations of critical institutions like hospitals, schools, and markets. Foreign policy expert Robert Mugai at foreignpolicy.com writes that Haiti's criminal groups are powerful due to their access to, quote, increasingly powerful firearms, ammunition, and drugs. Also, the Haitian elite have turned a blind eye for years. They've looked the other way. This has allowed gangs to rapidly modernize their weaponry and develop significant financial resources used to fuel wars with their rivals. Dozens of elected and appointed government officials have been implicated in corruption, money laundering, arms smuggling, and drug trafficking. Recent sanctions targeting former and current Haitian officials have proved ineffective, a case of too little, too late. These include travel bans, asset forfeitures, and arms embargoes, but have really only affected a minuscule fraction of those big fish actually involved. But we're going to discuss a big fish right now, okay? His name is Jimmy Sirzier. The French is really hard for me to pronounce, aka Barbecue. Okay, Barbecue is a former police chief who was fired in 2018 when he was linked to a slew of violent crimes. Authorities believe Barbecue was involved in the Grand Ravine massacre in 2017 that resulted in at least 9 deaths. In 2018, he was accused of taking part in the La Saline massacre, where over 70 people were brutally slain and over 400 houses were torched. And by 2019, he was a full-fledged, full-time gang leader. He was a police chief. He was corrupt. He was violent. He really had a private army, a private gang, while he was still a police chief. Once he got fired, he dove straight headfirst into the gang life. Being removed from office as police chief in 2019, he was accused of taking part in the Bel Air massacre, where 24 people were brutally murdered. He's the current leader of the Revolutionary Forces of the G9 Family and Allies, or G9 for short. This group of over a dozen gangs controls almost 80% of Haiti's capital of Port-au-Prince. Being in the police force made Barbecue hungry for power. The 2022 UN sanction alleged that he orchestrated the blockade of major fuel terminals in the capital. Currently, Barbecue is demanding... Barbecue, first of all, saying that name over and over again is really bizarre, but that's what he goes by. You know, some people say he got that name for burning people's houses. That's his MO. But he claims that he got that name because his mother, growing up, used to cook chicken, used to barbecue chicken, so that's where he got his name from. In any rate, he's demanding that Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry step down. If he doesn't, the gang leader promises that the country will suffer a genocide. The G9 has attacked almost every government institution in the capital, including the main international airport. Now, Henry is unable to return to Haiti after a trip to Kenya to meet President William Ruto. The two leaders signed a security agreement that allowed Kenya to deploy a sizable force, a police force, to fight the well-equipped and heavily armed gangs. As I said before, Haiti's own internal police force had been battered. I mean, they are exhausted. They're depleted. They're losing. Essentially, there is no police force anymore if gangs control 80% of the capital. So Kenya decided to step up, UN-backed, and provide a pretty large force in order to help fight the gangs. The UN-backed deployment is now delayed. Barbecue has used the absence of Henry to launch a coup. Quote, "We will fight Ariel until the last drop of blood. We will fight Ariel Henry until he resigns. I am ready to make an alliance with the devil. I'm ready to sleep in the same bed as the devil." That's a direct quote that I saw from an interview with him, a recent interview about 2 weeks ago. The prime minister is in Puerto Rico right now after being denied landing rights in the Dominican Republic, which only plays into the hands of Barbecue's G9. In addition to opening fire on the international airport, gangs have torched police stations. They stormed Haiti's two largest prisons, releasing over 4,000 inmates. On Monday, they attacked and looted wealthy communities. This Monday, so today is what, Thursday? On Monday, they attacked and looted wealthy communities that had previously been untouched by the conflict, which resulted in the deaths of at least two dozen people. UN Deputy Spokesman Farhan Haq reports that the situation in Port-au-Prince, quote, remains tense and volatile. Now, I'm sorry if I slaughter some of these names. I am not great at pronunciations, but I'm going to do my best, all right? So he says that the situation remains tense and volatile, with schools, hospitals, and government buildings being attacked daily. And these daily disruptions, of course, are really hampering their normal operations. So if hospitals, government building, and schools are being attacked, that means these services cannot be offered to the population, to the innocent civilian population. The health sector continues to struggle due to a lack of medical supplies, healthcare workers, and blood. You need blood for transfusions. You need blood for operations. You need blood to help people, all right? And they do not have enough of it. An unknown number of civilians have been murdered, with around 17,000 people left homeless. Many have fled to Haiti's southern region, which is much calmer and relatively untouched by the violence. All right, so we're 20 minutes in. I'm going to take a quick break, get some water, relax for about, I don't know, 20 seconds. We'll be back in a flash. Ape. We'll be right back. creepbeats.io. That's where I get all the music for the podcast. Find them on YouTube. All right. So who's going to help Haiti? What is going on? What is the international community deciding to do? The U.S., who has initially supported Henri, is slowly backing away and hinting at the necessity of a new government. Actually, they're more than hinting. They're actually supporting it actively now. They don't want to say it too strongly, but they're looking for a new government. Now, once seen as a murderous gangster by many, Barbecue is now widely being called a revolutionary figure. According to CBS News, an anti-terrorism team of U.S. Marines have been deployed to Haiti to help protect the U.S. embassy. 8 days ago, Prime Minister Henri announced that he will resign. U.S. officials are now worried that the country will descend into a spiral of uncontrollable violence as the resulting power vacuum will pit government forces into a full-fledged war against major gangs like the G9. This Tuesday, Caribbean leaders reported that all groups and political parties except one have submitted nominees for a transitional presidential council. This council will be charged with selecting an interim prime minister. Okay, an interim prime minister. So even the person they select will not be permanently in power. The original 9-member council recently lost a member after a prominent party led by a former senator and presidential candidate declined a seat last week. All right. So these groups are basically, okay, so let me explain. There's a bunch of interest groups in Haiti that are vying for power right now. And each group, and they're backed by big companies, they're backed by all these backers, and it's pretty complicated and pretty complex. But to break it down, there's a bunch of major parties, splinter factions, et cetera, that are vying for power. Each one of them are nominating one name to be kind of thrown into the mix to be the next interim prime minister. And of course, there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of backstabbing and kind of backroom deals that are going on in order to get this list of names together. But so far, I think that the presidential council has received all the names that they need, so they're going to start looking into it. They need to move quickly because things are quickly spiraling. All right. As Haiti's political future hangs in the balance, the Dominican Republic has shut down the borders and refused to take in refugees. The DR is cracking down hard on undocumented Haitian immigrants, sending them back to their country. The U.S., who had initially supported Henri, has joined a coalition of Haitian stakeholders and nations and Caribbean nations to help put together an agreement dissolving Henri's failing government and replacing it. But replace it with what? With whom? No one seems to know yet. The Haitian people have mixed opinions. Some believe the resignation of the prime minister is being exploited by the international community, while others believe that it is up to them, the Haitian people, to find a leader that can put their country back on track. The unrest has left some Americans living in Haiti stranded. For example, missionary Jill Dolan says that when she tried to contact relief agencies to help extract her and her group, they claimed it was too dangerous and advised them to stay put. As the situation worsens, we can only hope that a competent transitional government can be pieced together from the ashes. The goal of this podcast today was to raise awareness of Haiti's dire situation and to give a brief snapshot of the modern-day impact of colonialism, slavery, economic exploitation, internal political corruption, and instability. On the next episode, we will discuss how Haiti emerged from the ashes of a fallen slave society. All right, so we're going to go back. We're going to go way back, because what I wanted to do is I wanted to paint a picture of what Haiti is today, right? Boom. Doesn't look too good right now. There's always hope, but right now it's a hairy situation, right? Now we're going to go back on the historical timeline, because this does not happen in a vacuum. There's always roots that you can trace back in time to figure out how did we get here, right? And that's what I want to do. We're going to discuss how Haiti emerged from the ashes of a fallen plantation slave society, how a group of enslaved people rose up to orchestrate the only successful slave revolt in history and became the first population of formerly enslaved people to be recognized as citizens of the same nation that held them in bondage. They rose up as enslaved people, defeated their colonial masters, and then forced them to recognize them as citizens of the colonial empire, which is incredible. There can be no doubt that the Haitian Revolution was one of the greatest episodes of human history, although often overshadowed by the American and French revolutions, which preceded and heavily influenced it. The Haitian Revolution forever changed the history of the world. It introduced the first African-led nation in the New World and affected not only France, but the U.S. and neighboring nations and colonies throughout the entire Western Hemisphere. All right, we're hitting 30 minutes. That's all I got. I discovered that 30 minutes is about the attention span of myself and most people. Actually, mine is probably a little bit less, you know, but 30 minutes is what I go for. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this was a decent summary of what's going on. Like I said, this is a by-the-minute story that's updating constantly. So the sources I used from 2 weeks ago, as you can probably tell from the podcast, from 2 weeks ago, now the situation has developed, right? So from 2 weeks ago to Monday, the situation has changed. Please don't forget to rate, review, and most importantly, follow our podcast. We're on social media, TikTok, IG, and soon we will have visuals on YouTube. I'll put all that information in the show notes. Thank you again for joining us, right? We really, really thank you. And once again, we're going to go back. We're going to go back and we're going to talk about the Haitian Revolution because it's important to not just see Haiti as a fallen state, right? Haiti is much more than that. Haiti is the state of Haiti, the government of Haiti, the country of Haiti is a pioneer in the Western Hemisphere. Now, people might not remember that because they don't know history and they can't go way back. But the Haitian Revolution may have been one of the most important events, I mean, ever, to be honest. All right, when you talk about the ideals of freedom, of self-determination, of revolution, of equality, this was all represented in the Haitian Revolution. Thank you so much for joining us. I said it like 100 times. We look forward to the next episode. Can't wait. God bless y'all. Ape. Freebeast.io. Be on the lookout. Built in blood, the Haitian Revolution is coming next. Ape out.